We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Harvey, it's DuckDuckGo.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We will have our two-minute report on the Bulls coming up in a little bit, and there was something that I enjoyed immensely from the post-game show that I want to share with you, and it allowed me to think about those days that the two guys were talking about. I will share that a little bit later on. Cam Ellis joins us on Tuesdays at 1. We always have a really fun time talking with Cam. He's great. You should follow him on Twitter, at Kingsley Ellis. He joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mr. Ellis, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing great, and I thank you so much for being on the show. I would like to talk about your latest column, because in the first paragraph, there are some things that I would like to dig deeper into. I don't know if you feel comfortable sharing, but if you do, I would love to know your Ted Lasso thought that you don't want to share, you didn't want to share in the column.
Okay. So I guess as it pertains to Ted Lasso, I am just not sold on a heartwarming show that started as an advertisement for a tech company and then was an advertisement for a soccer league. Like, I am not going to knock people, you know, deriving joy from whatever they derive joy from. If you want to like it, go ahead. Yeah, you know, I've lost this battle almost unanimously at this point. But I look at it and I go, this is kind of cheesy and kind of fake, and I'm not super sold that this Apple TV commercial is as heartwarming as people tell me it is.
Okay, fair enough. I don't think that that's too out of pocket. I will read the paragraph for people so they know. The headline of Cam's story is defending Matt Nagy's decision to play Jason Peters for some reason. He goes on to write, one of my least envious traits I've come to accept is being consistently unnecessarily contrarian. I don't know exactly when it happened. It just sort of did. No one likes it, least of all me, but that's life. I don't enjoy PB&Js, avoid ketchup at all costs, and am generally apathetic about Taylor Swift's release catalog. You would hate my opinion on Ted Lasso. Now, I didn't hate your opinion on Ted Lasso. I am the type of person, I don't put anything really on food. Like, I'm a big proponent of, if the meat is good, it doesn't need a lot else on it. I do enjoy cheese and occasionally bacon, although the bacon's got to be very particular for me to put it on a sandwich. What's your issue with ketchup?
I have actually less of an issue with ketchup than I do with Ted Lasso, which is a great analysis on my behalf. I don't actually dislike it. I just never feel like it's necessary. Like, there's nothing that goes with ketchup that I feel like isn't also strong with hot sauce or barbecue sauce or literally anything else. Like, of all the sauces, I just look at ketchup and I'm just like, this is not as good as we can go. Like, we can strive for better than ketchup, and I like to try it, I guess.
Herbie, I feel like Cam's thoughts on Ted Lasso and on ketchup are very reasonable.
Very reasonable. I mean, he's wrong about Ted Lasso, but I get his point. But his ketchup one, yeah, ketchup is for children. You can find a better sauce.
Okay, then we agree on the Taylor Swift thing, so I don't need even ask you about that. Now let's talk about PB&Js. What's the issue with PB&Js?
You know, I just never ended up liking them. I was a really picky eater as a kid, and I luckily grew out of that, but there are some things that just like never transitioned to not being a picky eater with me. Like, I used to hate mashed potatoes, and I used to hate a bunch of really bland, normal things, which I like now, but PB&Js just never came along for the ride. Like, I've just, by the time I started eating sandwiches way more consistently, I was just like, oh, like deli meats are better, grilled cheese are better, like whatever it may be. I just never saw a scenario for peanut butter and jelly that I couldn't get a better sandwich like right next door or you know, on the other side of the fridge or whatever. Of all the things I listed, PB&J is like my most mild. I'll take one if it's the only thing available, like in a press box or whatnot. But I typically try and go, I can get a better sandwich than this.
Sometimes in press boxes, it's the best thing to eat because
some
of the places that you end up traveling to, you're like, ooh, this is awful, which is great because now it leads me down another track that we can delay talking about the Bears about. What was your best press box food experience?
So I have to say Minnesota because I think it's Minnesota because they have like a full omelet bar there. And it wasn't even like a couple things. You walked like 20 yards down this omelet bar and they were like chopping up fresh ingredients. And, you know, sometimes these press boxes, especially for the noon games, they're like, hey, do you want some rib roast at 10:45? And you're like, no, like, yeah, thank you, but no, thank you. But a nice, really freshly made omelet, like right before the game kicked off, just like was the best thing I've ever had. And the fact that it was freshly made was, how should I put this nicely, a different style than what I'm used to getting at Soldier Field. And so the fresh fruits and vegetables, the freshly made, the cracked eggs, like it just felt like a real delicious base of a meal that could then sustain me as I watch the Bears score 15 points in the last game of the year.
It's been a minute since I've been in the press box at Soldier Field. I always felt that they did dessert great, like the good cookies, good brownies, good stuff like that. But I almost never ate a meal there.
No, I don't necessarily blame you. I'm still in the era of my life when free food is better than any not free food. So like, occasionally I just go, oh, a free lunch, whatever. But I don't necessarily blame you. There's a day coming at some point when I pack my own lunch because I think you're right about generally what you're talking about.
So the best press box meal that I ever had, Zach and I were calling a DePaul Vanderbilt game down at Vanderbilt. Okay. That, which, by the way, if you ever get a chance to go watch a game at Vanderbilt, it's very cool. Basketball, I mean. It's great because it's designed off of an old opera house. The benches are on opposite sides of the baseline and not on the sideline, which is really, really interesting too. We walked in there, and it was a Saturday morning, 11 a.m. tip-off or whatever, with DePaul in town. Someone, I don't know who it was, but someone made homemade fresh fried chicken. Like, we were when they delivered it with all of the sides that you would want. And I looked over at Zach and I was like, this is heaven. Like, this is what all of the places that we traveled throughout the country, that when we were in weird ass West Virginia looking around, like, this is the reward that we get. I'll never forget that. And it's why I had one of the best times ever hanging out in Nashville.
Yeah, it's very like an insider baseball to the media industry, but the feeling you get when you walk into a press box that hooks it up with the food is unmatched. Like, there's just something about walking into a press box with options and you just feel like the king of the world, and it's just all available for you at all times. Like, I get the joy from that is about as good as any like joy watching sports, which maybe says more about me than the normal person. But I miss the days of going to every press box and being like, wow, the food here is great.
Herbie, I'll have to do a top five list. We'll eliminate Vanderbilt because I've already made it number one. And then I'll put another top five press box eating moments for me throughout my career. So we'll do that at some point. Cam, why didn't you have a problem with the amount of snaps Jason Peters got in last week's game?
I just think that it's the comparison between Jason Peters and Tevin Jenkins and Justin Fields and the other quarterbacks isn't as rock solid as people are saying it is, because Jason Peters is a Hall of Famer and he's playing well. Like, those are, I think, I don't know which one matters more in the moment, but the fact that both are happening, I think, is not insignificant. Whereas Nick Foles and Andy Dalton are not Hall of Famers, and neither of them are particularly playing that well. You know, I think Justin Fields brings a specific skill set and talent to the field that no one else on the Bears has. And that's why he needs to play immediately. You know, like, Tevin Jenkins isn't for as good of a prospect as he is, he is not a generational talent at left tackle. He is not someone that goes, he is going to change the game. And it seems like he wasn't quite ready for the role that he was getting when he was getting a lot of snaps. So, look, I this is not a hill I want to, like, completely die on. I do understand the value in getting young guys looks when season results don't matter. I just think that there's a little bit of nuance to this conversation in terms of man management. I think that, you know, there are office politics in NFL buildings, just like there are in every other building. There are personalities to deal with. There are personal relationships. Like, it's very easy, in my opinion, to go tweet about how someone would do it. And, oh, if I was the coach, I would do that immediately. Well, yeah, but, you know, you don't know Jason Peters. You don't know the dynamics. There are these aspects to these types of decisions that don't get talked about a lot, because football conversations tend to be binary in terms of he should play or he shouldn't play. But I think there is a personal aspect to this that is not really getting discussed.
Yeah, and it's so weird too, Cam, because you're in a point in the season where you are looking at, well, younger guys need to play and develop. And right. I keep going back to, is this the coach that they're going to play and develop for? And the answer is probably no. So I do wonder what the value is. I do think that there's value in getting live reps, which is part of the reason why I'd like to see Justin Fields take the field if he's healthy enough to do it without hurting himself. I'm for it, but it's such a strange, these last 6 weeks of the season have been such a strange place, because we all feel like something's getting ready to happen, and it makes what we're seeing on the field almost moot.
Right. And, you know, I think it's funny that people are, you know, confused, like, oh, why isn't Matt Nagy worried about the future of this team and seeing his young guys? It's like, I think that's pretty obvious. Like, if there's one person on the planet who doesn't really care about the immediate future of the Bears, it's Matt Nagy. Like, he does not care. Maybe he is, you know, he's a good guy, and maybe he cares about Tevin Jenkins' career trajectory and getting him comfortable. That's all fine. But Matt Nagy doesn't care about seeing who is going to be here next year for very obvious reasons. And I just think that there's maybe a little bit of that aspect to this. And I think it's just really hard to tell a Hall of Fame level talent who basically came out of retirement to play for a bad team and then played really well and played hard throughout the year, which I think that is not necessarily true for every player on the Bears. And so I think it's just hard to look at all of that and look at the context within that and say, oh yeah, it's an easy decision that he shouldn't be playing anymore. Like, I don't know if that's as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
I do agree that Tevin Jenkins needs more snaps, but I don't think it's as easy as just pulling Jason Peters out.
And I don't know the answer to this. There's also the possibility that because Jason Peters did this, depending on how his contract is structured, that because he was a good soldier, that you want him to get any sort of playtime bonus that might be coming to him.
Right. And you know, Matt Nagy has said this entire year that they're not all that glued to keeping Tevin Jenkins on the left side right now. And so, like, it's a tough job for Larry Borum, who's playing well, but maybe you compete there for the last 2 years of the 2 weeks of the season. You know, that to me seems more like life in the NFL, you know, tough luck in the NFL, than it does pulling the Hall of Famer who's been holding down the most important position on the line. So I get it. You know, I'm not going to argue too passionately, because at the end of the day, I do agree that game snaps are important and that young players should be seeing them more at this point. But I think my point was to illustrate that I don't think every personnel decision is as simple as, oh, well, this hasn't working, so switch it. Like, there's some personal aspects of football teams and buildings and decisions that I think doesn't get talked about as much as people think.
Cam, I think our next visit could be really interesting next week at this time.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that it's interesting, because it might be even less interesting and more maddening, but we shall see. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the great job you're doing on 670thescore.com.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. That is Cam Ellis. By the way, on the latest edition of the Sports Adjacent podcast, he's filling in. He's so damn funny. Him and Russ and Jason Leisure are hilarious. The name of the podcast is Sports Adjacent. Look it up, and he put a list together that will make you laugh and cry as a Bears fan. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our two-minute report on the Bulls game from last night, and then something happened on the TV. I want to spend some time talking about it, and it's got me thinking that I need to find this thing that I had. I'll explain next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station. It's time for the two-minute report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the two-minute report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait.
Bumba, right side, three up and good. It's 8-0 Orlando.
Not the start you wanted. We're hoping for this Bulls team that won 7 in a row. Orlando's come out. They're on fire. Bulls 0-5 to start things off.
Hampton pressured by Brown to the rim.
Shot rejected by Brown in denial.
Here's Kobe, driving, Kobe to the rim, got it! Onions, baby onions! And Kobe saying, I got it off before time expired, and he just might be right.
DeRozan against Ross, on a pump, on a drive, and turnaround jumper, no, tip cut, Derrick Jones Jr., and the Bulls take the lead for the first time, 27-26 at the 8-minute mark, and a putback by Derrick Jones Jr. Hampton's pass, intercepted by Ball, jump pass, left side, DeRozan in red forecourt. What a play by Lonzo. DeMar in front to Vooch. Let's see what the Vooch creates here. They go wide left side to DeRozan with 10 on the clock. DeMar wants it. Cross court. And on the right wing now underneath to Brown. Top side Vooch. Open three. Got it. Great ball moving. It went left, right, center. Wagner with the Euro step. Up and good. Killing the foul on Levine. Franz Wagner. This kid is going to be very, very special. DeMar DeRozan knocked down a 10-footer right side, up and good. Counting the foul with a one-legged fade. Lonzo in his first game in 3 weeks grabs the board. He's got a 3.5 rebound, 6 assists game. On the right side, three, up and good as the Bulls fill it up with Kobe White. Ball holding and looking. get in play. The DeRozan double pump comes up shooting underneath and hits the floor and a foul by Hampton. But what a pass, huh? Yep. By Ball to DeMar DeRozan. Wagner of the timeline. We're down to the final 5 seconds. Wagner driving on Jones. Fires the right corner pass. Orlando running out of time. Gary Harris on a three. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. Make it 8 straight for the Bulls. 102-98 over the Orlando Magic.
Chuck and Bill on the call here on 670 The Score. The Bulls win last night against Orlando. It got dicey there in the last 2 minutes of the game. Bulls got sloppy with the ball. DeMar DeRozan missed free throws. You weren't expecting that. Apparently, then DeMar went and took free throws after the game. Joe Cowley was joking about it on Twitter, saying, let's just say he made 250 free throws before he came and talked to the media. But, yeah, man, that was a little bit weird. And, by the way, I love Adam and Stacey. I thought they bent over backwards to say that there wasn't any intent on that foul, that flagrant one. I think there was intent. Because it wasn't like the guy falling, landing, and, like, grabbing onto a shoulder to break his fall. He, like, wrenched DeMar DeRozan's neck on that. I was ready to fight. Like, that was one of those ones, like, hey, man, you can't do that. It's our guy. I was ready to fight somebody. So, after the game was over, I was playing chess. That's, like, my thing that I do now at night. Like, I just play games, and I'm trying different openings and all sorts of other stuff. And shout out to Gotham Chess. I love watching his videos, and I wish I were as calm as a grandmaster at the game is. So I do that while I'm watching postgame. So, you know, I'm watching Jason and Kendall. They're doing a great job breaking it all down, as per usual, on NBC Sports Chicago. They have fun on that show. Those two guys, you heard Kendall and Jay on with me and Layla and Will and Anthony Heron last week. We had a blast, right? That's why, part of the reason why the show is really good. The show is also good because those two guys, and when Will's there, those three guys know basketball. But they also do some fun stuff on the show. This happened last night.
I thought you were going to refer to the big three of Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, and Kendall Gill.
I mean, y'all was cool. I enjoyed it when I was a kid. I remember the shot that Zoe hit to beat the Celtics.
You know you had a Hornets star.
I had a Pittsburgh Steelers and a Milwaukee Bucks starter pullover. I never had the Hornets stuff. I was never into the, was it teal or turquoise?
Teal.
Teal, yeah.
Teal and purple.
Wasn't my vibe, man. It wasn't my vibe. It was Charlotte. It was a city I hadn't really known much about. You know?
All right, let's go to commercial break. Let's go.
When we come back here on Toyota Bulls Postgame Live, we'll hear from Billy Donovan, first game back.
Well, you knew who Muggsy Bogues was.
I knew he was.
You got on teal right now. What are you talking about?
I'm 41, though. I'm washed. Ah. Chuck Swirsky tweeted this out. DeMar DeRozan is at the United Center shooting free throws after the game. Now, we've seen this before with guys like Kobe. We've heard about it with guys like MJ. But this is a man who is passionate about his craft and feels like he let his team down, even though he went out for 29 points tonight.
Yeah, you know, it just bothers you because he knows 7 to 13, it's not acceptable
right
for him. You know, anytime you're a scorer, if you get close to 50% from the free throw line, that's just, you just can't deal with it. I know he probably went out there and said, listen, I got to make a couple of hundred just to get my confidence back at the line. Because if you let that fester and you don't go right away and shoot your free throws, then that could turn into something else. Believe me, I've been there before.
Anytime I see a player practicing free throws or a player struggle from the free throw line, mm-hmm. and I hate to think about it even in this moment, your guy.
Nick Anderson.
I think about Nick Anderson yeah. every single time and what that did to him as a player after that moment in the playoffs. So Shout out to DeMar DeRozan for doing his thing, putting in that work after the game.
Yeah, especially after you just dropped 29. And your MVP candidate.
Right. He should be at, like, Maple and Ash somewhere getting a good dinner, but he's out here shooting free throws. I'm sure he's not going to be eating oodles of noodles after the game or anything like that. I don't want to make it seem like DeMar is doing something, you know, out of this world.
But. Yeah, I'm sure he'll get a good meal somewhere.
Yeah.
After he gets done knocking down 500 free throws.
500?
That's what it takes, man. 500 a day. Young kids, 500 a day if you want to make it.
Really? Who is rebounding for you for 500 free throw attempts?
The guys that work for the Bulls.
Yeah? No, I'm talking about the kids. You were just talking to the kids. Kids, go ahead and find a friend who can't shoot and needs to glom on to a winner like yourself and get 500 rebounds.
That's right. So we're going to the gym after this. And you're going to rebound for me.
See? And then you wonder why.
That's been talking about my team.
It's not, though.
And not having a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket. Though.
You are a grudge holder. You know that? Like you did it for spite. I knew it was happening too. I thought maybe it was gonna be next post game or next pregame, but I knew at some point the fact that I didn't buy a Charlotte Hornets windbreaker as a child, it was gonna come back to bite me. So now I'm a grown man having to go rebound for him at LA Fitness. That's what my life has amounted to, ladies and gentlemen. Bulls have won 8 games in a row. Kendall Gill is still
we're
a jerk.
We're going to export. LA Fitness isn't open right now. See, don't think you're getting out of this.
Man, let me tell you something. I am 41 years old. I see you at the gym.
Now. Okay.
Kendall Gill and the rest of the crew. I'm Jason Goff, the professional rebounder. We'll see you guys next time.
500.
I'm not reading. You better make 499 of them.
That was Jason and Kendall last night on NBC Sports Chicago's postgame show of the Bulls. And you know what it got me thinking about? He got me thinking about my starter jacket phase. Now, I have to whiteboard this, right, for the younger people that listen to this show. Back in the 80s and early 90s, starter jackets was like a status symbol. It was a way for you to show off some style, and you had either saved up some money or your parents had given you some money or you was out here making money in a bad way, and then you had enough money to go get yourself a starter jacket. Kendall's right. A lot of people used to rock the Charlotte Hornets starter, the Orlando Magic starter, for a lot of reasons, was very popular in Chicago. I didn't do that. I was like, Jay, like, basketball starter jackets were not that interesting. You know what, though? There was, my brother had a jacket that I would often steal. It was, do you guys remember those, like, they were like trench coats, but they were really cheesily put together, like windbreakers, and they had team stuff. And I think Braxton was, at the time, was thinking about going to North Carolina. So he had like North Carolina gear, and I would just steal it. I would steal a lot of his stuff. I'm gonna post a picture today or tomorrow on Instagram of me in high school with a piece of jewelry that I completely stole from my brother. My brother, by the way, I'm barely 5'9". My brother's about 6'1". So he got all of the really good genes. Like, he's actually good looking and, you know, all that stuff. I used to wear his shoes, even though I could not fit them. I'd be like, no, I'm taking those. He had a pair of Nike cross trainers that were, I was like, if he's not wearing them, I'm wearing them. And I'm be tripping all over myself. But I did back in the day had, and I wish I still had it. I don't know. Because every now and again, I go to my parents' house and my mother like unearths something. Like, she found my state championship trophy from Jackie Robinson West. I have been looking for it for years. She's like, I think I found it. I had a gorgeous, gorgeous Dodgers starter jacket. The royal blue with the white script. Oh, I was styling and profiling. I'm having a hard time holding these gators down. And I'm thinking about, like, I would rock that right now. If I had it, I would wear it right now. Because it was that good. And, like, the quality of it was really good. I'm sure my parents spent a grip on that. Because I had to have been 13. 14, I wasn't working yet. But all of that, like that conversation with Jay and Kendall, I was like, man, everyone used to be fresh to death in their starter jackets or the terry cloth jackets that would have Looney Tunes on them. Now people just wear those and they just have pictures of Tupac and Biggie on them. But it used to be Tweety Bird and Sylvester and stuff that people would rock. And I'm like, yeah, man, that might have to come back. Like that, I might have to, I don't mean as a trend. Although I do think a lot, like Starter is kind of back, sort of, in a retro ironic way. I mean, for me personally, I might have to get back into that style. Like, I got enough money now. I can find one Starter jacket. Maybe a good, is there a good Starter, like, White Sox jacket? Like, I'm thinking, like, a crispy, like, glossy black jacket with white script across it for the White Sox. I don't think I'd want it the other way because then it's going to get dirty easier. You remember the hats, the caps, the game caps back in the day? They changed up the style a little bit. But yeah, man, Kendall's right. He's right. It didn't matter if you were a fan of the Charlotte Hornets or not. People were rocking that Starter gear. For real. At least where I grew up, they were.
Yeah, the Hornets were probably the most popular. Raiders were really popular. I think the Anaheim Ducks had just came out. They was rocking purple and blue. The movie was great.
Yes.
Well, but the Hornets thing, like Grandmama, Muggsy Bogues, as mentioned there, we were talking about Kendall Gill, and it looked fresh.
Didn't Grandmama play with Urkel?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, 2-on-2.
They won the 2-on-2 tournament. Did we ever find out where Carl and them lived in the city? Because on the show, there's no real reference to it.
I think the house that they filmed from the exteriors for is on the north side.
It felt like whenever I saw the row houses, like, yeah, that's a north side neighborhood.
Like Roscoe Village area.
Okay.
I'm going to check on that.
Did Carl ever think to call DCFS on Urkel's parents? Because, I mean, they were never around and then just moved to Russia. They just moved to Russia.
Family Matters House is located on 1516 West Wrightwood Avenue in Lincoln Park.
Okay. So, like, Wrightwood and Ashland. Like, around there?
Yeah, you couldn't afford it.
No.
Not you. I'm saying out there now.
I mean,
Carl couldn't afford it.
Yeah, Carl couldn't afford it. I was in college when that was going on. I don't think Carl could have afforded it back then. They were a two-income family, though. Right? Because Harriet was working at the Sun-Times.
I mean, she started off working at the Sun-Times. I don't think she did anything after that.
But, I mean, you know.
They didn't bring up Larry and Balky at all after that.
No, I literally saw an episode where it was the actor who played Larry was her boss at the Marshall Fields-type store that she was working at. And he was a jerk. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let's stick with the canon here. This show spun off of Perfect Strangers. I didn't forget that. You can't bring Cousin Larry on here and act like he's a whole new person. I saw him.
Apparently, the Family Matters house was demolished and rebuilt, and on it, it has the Family Matters, like, brick on it. Like, the name of the house, it says Family Matters on the outside. It looks, like, custom. Nice.
And again, I'll say, worst person. Pam Beasley, Laura Winslow.
I didn't watch the rest of The Office, so I don't know how bad Pam is, but I don't know why Laura would be bad.
I mean, come on. The changes that she put Steve through, he had to clone himself, man. And then she falls in love with Stefan Urkel and then falls back in love with Steve Urkel. And what I keep trying to tell people is Myra was the one. Hello? Myra was the one.
But why is it Laura's fault that this man is obsessed with her?
It's not. And there is an argument there that dude was a creeper. All I'm saying is that she did fall in love with him, and then she wasn't in love with him because he was a geek. And so he made himself cool by being the guy that Jaleel White actually is versus the character that he played and made him famous, and now he don't like to talk about no more. All I'm saying is, throughout all of it, Myra was right there. That was the one. When she popped up on the show, I was like, why is he still chasing Laura? Because there it is.
Somebody who actually wants you, loves you, cares about you.
And look good.
Success, yeah. And Laura, did she dump Stefan Urkel? Or did he kill Stefan Urkel
no.
so he can fall in love with her?
They did a switcheroo episode where it was Urkel being Urkel and Urkel being Urkel. Which is, they got things after season six, things got a little. Didn't they have a 10th season on CBS where someone else was playing Harriet? And then the third daughter was no longer there and the auntie was gone, but they kept the son.
And 3J, for some reason, was
there.
Yeah,
they were
all
like,
the time.
This needs to be more hood. I honestly think that Goff should be really proud that this segment of him talking about starter jackets ends up with us talking about Urkel. Him and Kendall should be really proud of that. But yeah, Grandmama and Steve won the 2-on-2 tournament. And it wasn't Larry Johnson. It was legit Grandmama who helped him win the 2-on-2 tournament. Better television. All right, now we got another top five. Best TV basketball. There's so many choices. We can do Grandmama and Urkel. We can do Martin and the women's Olympic team. That episode. We can do the White Shadow again for people who remember the White Shadow. All that stuff.
Hang Time, Reggie Theus.
Hang Time is hilarious with Teddy out there shooting those 15 footers that are supposed to be half court shots.
Fresh Prince.
Oh my God, Carlton. You're right. Like, we could do all sorts of fun stuff. Didn't the Fonz play basketball at some point?
Probably made all the shots.
And then he jumped over a shark on water skis. The youngins don't have any idea of the stress that Fonzie put us through when he was going to jump over the sharks. Can he do it? Can he do it in a leather jacket? Now people are just texting their favorite shows, which is perfect. Because the alternative is me talking about the Bears, and you don't want me to do that. Do you? Well, maybe. We do need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the commissioner of baseball. We'll do that in a second. You're listening to The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
So happy to see that a lot of people are with me on the whole Myra thing. I see you. Yeah, it's a very sad story about Michelle and her passing away. Very sad. I want to talk about Rob Manfred. Yesterday, Ken Rosenthal announced to the world that he was no longer going to be at MLB Network. And the belief is that the reason that he's not going to be at MLB Network is because he has been critical of Rob Manfred. I know that commissioners don't really run things. They just kind of do the bidding of the owners at this point. But I will tell you, there are better people to run baseball than Rob Manfred. There are better people, even with negotiating, that want to crush the competition at the negotiating table, that at least seem to have thicker skin and a love for the game. Every little misstep that he has, whether we're talking about the trophy or his inability to show any sort of respect for the game or love for the game, or something as petty as, this guy said something mean on our property, therefore, I'm going to get him fired. By the way, there's been a lot of clown stuff that's been going on at MLB Network and MLB.com. And those are other things that have to do with Rob Manfred as well. If you want to win the negotiation, you can find yourself a negotiator. And if that's what you want Rob Manfred to be, fine. If you need a hatchet man, then he can be your hatchet man. But even if it's just a figurehead position, commissioner of baseball should mean something. And it shouldn't be a position where this guy gets to be in charge of everything baseball, because he's made the owners and himself look like a clown. When I come back, I will talk with Parkinson Spiegel next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.